Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He's mightily moving. I love the Lord our God and King. He thinks of everything, and I love the training that He's given me, and I love the training that He gives His people who follow Him. I listen for people who hear from the Lord and enjoy the Lord. You know, I said yesterday that the greatest testimonies, miracles, they happen through people who just love God. They love His will. They love His ways. They love His people. They love His purpose. And the three things that stood out, they love God, they have obedience, and they have sincerity. And yesterday, at night, I learned about, the Lord brought something to my attention about sincerity. He pointed out that a person can't have sincerity and pride in their heart at the same time. If a person has any pride in their heart, pride comes like leaven. And the Word of God is like leaven. And it works to interfere with the will of God. And sometimes when the Lord say do something, if there's doubt in their heart or pride in their heart, they have interference and they can't get it together to follow God. But that's why God told Joshua to study the word day and night, that you will be able to do all that's in God's heart, to do everything that He's saying do. What happens when we do everything that God says do? One thing, you solve problems that's in your face. You do it publicly. You do it according to the wisdom of God. You're acting on the love of God. And you're operating also in the holiness of God. And you're doing it in the sight of people. And it gives people a visual of what's right. It gives them a true picture of a true standard of life. No matter what training people had, no matter how deceived they are, there's no argument against the life of God, the light of God's word. And sometimes people do right because they're expected to. And so many people will do right as long, you know, Israel did right when they had a righteous king and righteous prophets that served as reminders of the standard. And they did what was expected. But soon as the king died, they go back to their ways. And I worked for myself fixing cars. When I first started as a mechanic, I had such a problem getting a mechanic job that I got tired of the bureaucracy. So I started working for myself. I said, you know, yeah, people wouldn't hire you fresh out of college. Especially I looked like when I was 20, I looked like I was 15. So sometimes they didn't think I could do it. And if you didn't work somewhere and live as a mechanic, they didn't trust you. And they'd have you washing cars, parking cars, doing things that you know how to rebuild the engine, transmission, anything that you need to do. You've been taught it and everything's fresh on your mind. It was really 3 years before I got a mechanic job. And I fixed my own car and a few cars for my friends. But if you wait too long to start using your education, you'll lose it. So I got tired of the runaround. I said, I'm getting older. I really want to do this, and nobody gave me a break. So, and a friend of mine said, at Central Plaza they hiring people. They're gonna hire somebody to sell shoes. He said, you want to ride up there and put in some applications? And that did it. I said, you know what? I said, no, I don't think I do. And then to myself, I said, I'm not looking for another job beside mechanic work. And I'm tired of this runaround. I'm going to work for myself. And I didn't look for any more jobs that were not mechanic related. And sometimes you got to get mad. See, anger is a motivator, just like love is a motivator. And I said, I'm just not going to do that. I said, Lord, don't even give me another job beside mechanic work. Monday morning, I'm going to go down there, and this time I'm going to get my license, and I'm going to start my own business. I tried to do it before, but I didn't have the, I was going to use my mom's address and as an office, but I may not have been clear in my wording, but it wasn't time either. And the man said, you can't get a license in that area. It's not zoned for it. But this time I went and I said, I need a business license. And he said, well, where do you live? I told him, he said, well, that's a residential area. You can't get a license. I said, no. I said, what I want to do, I'm going to have a mobile auto service. I'm going to be able to fix cars where they are, just like a wrecker would. You know, wreckers go and pick cars up, but I'd just be working on them wherever they are at the customer's house. He said, well, you can do that. And I got my license. I never even drew unemployment after I lost that job. And I went to work every day praying for my own business. And, you know, this is a little history. And I was tired of not being promoted to what I wanted to do. I worked in the used car lot, washing cars all day. And then I did glass and trim. I still wasn't doing what I wanted to do. But I love the wisdom of God. When Frankie quit, I took his spot in doing glass and trim. Well, there I learned electrical. And that was my weak spot. That was my Achilles heel. I was not good at electrical. But in that position, I learned to fix and diagnose window motors, and I learned a skill that I missed out on in school. In school, they kind of breeze through the electrical, but on the job, I applied myself and learned it, and it became very useful in my own business. But every day, I went to work, asking the Lord to give me my own business. And I thought it was going to take a long time. I ended up, they let me go, which was an answer to prayer. In other words, God closed a door and opened another one. And I walked in the open door when Steve said, they need somebody to sell shoes. I said, I'm not taking another job that's not related to what I do. And I said that to myself. And then I said, Lord, I don't even want you to bless me with another job that's beside a mechanic job. That's it. I had it. I'm going to start my own business. And I prayed before I went. I said, Lord, I don't want to walk out there without my business license, because I'm not going back to that. I'll never be a mechanic if I don't do something. And I really wanted to do it. And you would think that it would be easy to get a mechanic job. Nobody wants to do it anyway. But in those days, a lot of people cars were much easier to fix, and there were more mechanics. Most of them didn't even go to school for it like I did. And in school, you learn a lot of things you learn a lot of things that will prevent you from making costly mistakes to not only yourself, but to your customers as well. And I learned things that I saw a lot of people make mistakes, and it cost them and the customer a lot of money that they didn't have to spend. Nevertheless, I was ready more than I realized, and I'm going somewhere with that point. But I started the business, and I made more money. I believe I made more money even the first week than I did on my job, or it was equivalent. And I still got them old receipts. I'm going to burn them up, but I got all of my receipts, every receipt out from the first one to the last one. I got them all, but I need to get rid of the junk. But anyway, the thing is, the Lord prepared me for something that I needed to know about. And I saw so many customers, I get to know people. And eventually, the grandmother would die. And the family that was dedicated to God, because as long as she was living, they did good. They went to church. They did what they were supposed to do. But when she died, over time, they start doing things their own way again. Some people continued in the faith. Some people went back to the old ways of society. People had restraint as long as the grandmother was alive. And I've seen church people, they would do good as long as the pastor was alive. But eventually people die. And when these keystone people die, then you see a decline in the family. And sometimes people that were dedicated, they remain dedicated. But you saw people fall away more than you saw people stand. And you know, God forbid a pastor get in sin. And some people were looking for an excuse. The church was scattered, then some people would go find another pastor and they keep going forward. Some people just quit going altogether and don't want to ever go back. They finally got the excuse they wanted. Now, sincerity is something that's of the spirit. When you in your heart, when you're receptive to the word of God and you embrace it, your heart becomes more and more fortified. And the love of God operates in your life in greater measure. And every time you read and receive God's word, you are growing. And it's not always obvious. Every time you hear the word and you receive something, you as a person are growing. That word is getting in your heart and it equips you. Now, I like to think of the word of God. If it's like leaven gets in the barrel, and it wherever it starts getting, it turns everything around it to leaven. The whole barrel of flour would be leaven if a little bit of yeast gets at the bottom of it or anywhere in it. So the same thing with the word of God. If when the word of God gets in us, and we have a good and honest heart, God has something to work with, and it starts growing. And the things of God starts making more and more sense to you. It becomes easier. The more you meditate on it, the easier it is to receive not only what you receive, but things that are like what you receive. Even more of God's word, you become more receptive. And then you start categorizing it, putting it in its proper file, in its proper place. When you learn about authority, you say, oh, I got authority over the enemy. And it don't just go out of in one ear out of the other. You start using it and practicing it as a way of life to protect the investment that you already receive, to protect not only your life but the lives of others. And you do it to the you'll operate in that authority or anything of God, healing, anything that you received, you're operating it as a way of life. Because as you receive the word of God, you become more skilled in it. And the more you operate in it, you start learning that it works in greater and greater measure. And then you get the more word that you receive, you're clued in to more. So when somebody says something, you're able to judge, hey, that's from God. Now, you may not be able to prove it and go show somebody scripture, but it bears witness with the rightly divided word that you did receive. And then the Lord is able to train you. And not only that, you're able to speak words. The Lord will give you, he'll just cause you to say the right thing at the right time. It's beyond your intelligence. You had no clue that was going to come out of your mouth. Your brain didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did. And when you do that, you're clued into another truth. And sometimes I mentioned yesterday, that happens sometimes while I'm doing these broadcasts, especially this broadcast, Heart to Heart. This is Heart to Heart broadcast is greater than any radio broadcast. The radio broadcast is for everybody. God is calling people in. I'm kind of doing evangelistic work with that broadcast. And I do some teaching. But this is for people who, Heart to Heart is for people who are hungry. The Holy Spirit brings people to this broadcast. This is for people who are like professors in college. The revelation that he gave me long ago about following God and other things, it goes to this. I said, Lord, you're teaching me something as if I'm going to be teaching people these things one day, but I don't ever get to talk about it. And when he gave me heart to heart, I knew where all that revelation would end up. So the Holy Spirit helps me do what's appropriate. Now, when he calls me to say something that's beyond my intelligence, and that's not hard to do, I'm not the smartest man God made, but ministry comes from the Holy Spirit through us. We're vessels of honor. He said, he told me the night he called me to the ministry, he said, behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor. And I'm like, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, I couldn't forget what God said. He said it plain as day. I never forgot it, and I never will. But I didn't know what to do. And I, you know, but when you count on the Lord, there's no pressure. There's only joy and peace. There's no pressure at all. And I'm going to talk about that later. There's no pressure on you if you do exactly what God tells you to do. There's no pressure. It's not on you anymore. That's like an employer doing what the CEO said do. That's what it's like. When the CEO say, look, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to make it happen. And everybody get out of their chair and they go start doing what the CEO said do. It's not on them anymore. They're following orders. Even if it don't make sense to them, they do what the CEO said do. He owns the company, or he's the head of the company. Well, the Holy Spirit gives an order, we obey it. It's not our place to say, well, I don't agree with that. No, he said do it, we do it. Well, guess what? It works. There's no pressure on me. There's none on me as a person when the Holy Spirit tells me what to do. It's all on him. Some things are beyond my intelligence. I say, Lord, I'm going to say this in faith, but I just don't see it. I need a confirmation. And it's all right to ask for confirmation. I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm trying to make sure that I'm right. Because your will has a voice. Your desires have a voice. Whatever passion is that creeped in, it's got a voice too. So I check everything if I fill my heart with the word, and then I say with my mouth, I love God's word. I hate everything that's not of God. You know, that's legal to do. You can control what goes in and what goes out of your mouth. But I don't trust my wit to do it. I do it the easy way. I fill my heart with the word, and something's appropriate is needed, then that's what I do. That's what I speak. So the things that's not of God, everything that the word said don't do, I don't want to do. I want to be able to hate it. I want to make sure that I definitely hate it to the utmost. And that's the best way I know to put it. I said, Lord, now, when I was battling the enemy, Satan was trying to, get me to go down the road of lust through temptation. And he did a campaign against me. And I talk about this from time to time. Everywhere I went, women would act crazy. This was back in 1987. Right when I got called to the ministry, the enemy sent this campaign. And I learned something. I said, he got a lot of place in the average person. All through high school, I would have desired something like that to happen before I got saved. But I wanted to have I wanted to get married. I didn't want to have a wild life. So I had somewhat of a restraint. But I was not, when I wasn't saved, I thought totally different and even opposite than I do now. But I wanted what was right. But like I said earlier, I tried to go in business for myself. And the Lord closed that door. The man said, well, you can't get the business license in that zone, in that area. And I'm not the kind of person that speaks up well. Especially back in those days, I said, well, okay. I was going to start Roadrunner Mobile Auto Service back then and work out of my car. I thought to do that years before I actually did it. And I was fresh out of school when I first started to do this. And I talked to my mom about it. She said, well, you can use the house as an office. But in those days, I had just gotten saved, and I didn't know how society was. Again, I thought that everywhere was just like my neighborhood. I lived in a good neighborhood. People were church-going people. They loved God. And I wasn't ready for what was about to happen. I started my business in 1986. Well, in 1987, most of my customers were women. And they would come to the door half-dressed. They would do... It's crazy what I went through. And I knew I wouldn't go in the house. And most of them, I wouldn't even take them to the parts store. I wouldn't let them ride in my truck. The only time I would let, if I let a woman ride in my truck, it's because I trusted her. She didn't act that way. And I always came up with a reason not to let her ride in my truck. I'd buy the parts and then let her pay for it. Then I'd put them on. Because I love Christ. I love Jesus. But when he was trying to tempt me, I said, Lord, I don't want to be tempted. But I'm not going to go through all that again. I talk about that as embarrassing as it is. But people go through this. And then they don't have anybody to talk. That's why I talk about it. That's the only... It's not out of pride or anything. It's just that these are things that the enemy, there are traps out there. And people need to know how to spring the traps. So the way I did it, I said, Lord, I want to hate this. Help me hate that sin. How do I hate it like you hate it? See, remember, Jesus is the standard. I said, Jesus went through this. He did it. I'm going to help me do it. I didn't know how to do it. And also I knew that I didn't know anybody that knew how to do it. And I wasn't going to ask my dad. That's embarrassing. And I knew that the pastors, they were struggling themselves. I knew it because they talked about things. But they didn't sin. They didn't sin. But the strategy people had, they just went to church. Well, you can't hide in church. That's not going to last. They would go to every church, every time the door was open, they would be there, so they stay out of trouble. And then they wanted to be there too, I know that. But the way that they would handle it, people said, well, get married. Well, and people who are married say, well, that don't stop marriage. It's good, but it won't stop those desires. You just have to stay in God. That was it. And then the preacher, when they preach, they say, don't sin. All right, well, I don't want to sin. But how do you get to the point where you hate the sin? I used to listen to Charles Capps, and he talked about confession, how to speak. You have faith, now speak it. And use it in your life and throughout your life. And what happened? Most people, they use their faith to get cars, homes, better jobs, get married, have a good marriage and healthy children. And that's it. But confession goes further than that. I said, when I wanted to love people, I started saying that I love everybody. Every race, every person, like God loves me. So I started confessing that I love his people. And guess what? It was easy to love people. I said, oh, it works. So when it came to temptation, I said, I hate the spirit of lust. I hate lust. I hate viewing women as objects. And I said, well, Lord, help me to view all women like my sisters. Every woman beside my wife, let them be like Joan, Gail, and Karen. How do I do that? I didn't know how to do it either. When you start out, you may not be an expert, but where I'm going with this is you have to defend your heart against what's trying to get inside. And I kept saying, and I said, Lord, I still feel tempted. You have to be honest with God. He already knows anyway. I said, well, what's wrong? I don't see what's wrong. I do everything you said do. I love them like you love me. I confess that I love them. I say I hate it. I still feel tempted. What's going on? He said, don't fear falling. I said, that's it. When, this is why I had a problem that lasted longer than it should have. I feared falling. And when he said that, I saw myself as the victor instead of the victim. I don't know how that's spiritual. I don't know how it worked that way. But I finally cut the detachment, the last detachment that Satan had against me. See, when you get out of fear, perfect love cast out fear. But I didn't realize that I feared that. It was hidden from me. Same thing happened financially. I would get all the way to the last week of the month, and then I wouldn't make enough money. I had to sort out which bill I was going to pay. This lasted a long time. I said, Lord, there's something wrong. And he told me something. One day he said, don't ever worry about money in my presence. I said, wow. And then he said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you cash. And that stopped happening. What was going on was I would work until I made enough money. And sometimes I would exhaust myself. But the problem was the worry was a fear that I didn't know about. I felt I was putting pressure on myself to perform. And I was not, and that's why I wasn't in faith like I should have been. See, you have to do something against the doubt, the fear, the unbelief, so your faith will work. I tithed, I gave offerings, I did everything I knew to do, but I still had a remaining problem until I got rid of that worry and that fear. And I started taking breaks. I started, if I didn't make enough money, I would take the weekend off anyway. And I would confess what I need, and I always had the money to pay whatever I needed. Things got better. It got better and better after that. And I made better financial choices. And Pastor helped me with that. It's good to have a good pastor that loves you. If you got a pastor that loves you, you're a wealthy person. You just don't know it. But the thing is, when we receive the word of God in our heart, we become more and more capable throughout our lives. Now, it don't happen all at once. When you fill your heart with the word of God, you do what's necessary this day. You're still growing. Some things still don't make sense to you. But you keep filling your heart with the word of God, you're ever growing. Now, imagine your heart shaped like a man. And then you put the seed of God's word in it. Every time you receive God's word, you becoming more established on the inside. The word don't grow in one direction. It grows in every direction like a ball that's getting bigger and bigger over time. Let's say the word is like a seed in you. It starts out the size, let's say a marble. Let's say a BB. You know, a 77 millimeter, 177 millimeter BB. It starts out that size. You keep studying the word day in, every day, just like you should. Just receiving the word, not like a labor. You receiving the word. You may read a few scriptures in the morning and just meditate on it all day. Over time, that BB is going to be the size of a golf ball. You keep on doing it as a way of life, it's going to be the size of a baseball. You keep on, it's going to get the size of a grapefruit and then a bowling ball. And it's going to fill your entire being with the word of God. Everything, and that's where sincerity comes from. I don't like to point things out. Don't be afraid of being prideful. Kid it. Speak against it. you can be as sincere as you want to be. I live what people would consider a mild life. I didn't do things that a lot of my friends did because my parents were praying for me. Not that I didn't try to. But Jesus said this. He said, he that love is forgiven much will love much. And I thought about that. I said, people would have thought I was a Christian the way I grew up, but I was not. I didn't get saved till I was a man. I didn't really, you know, I just said that and lay me down to sleep prayer every night. But I didn't ask Jesus to save me and mean it till I was 19. That's when my eyes were open. That's when my heart was made new. And we have to fill that heart with the Word of God. And we learn as we grow. But when whatever challenges you have, the Lord gave you everything you need to stand. I don't like to point something out like you can't have sincerity and pride in your heart at the same time. And you really can't. Sincere, if as long as you are sincere, God has something to work with. If you got the word the size of a mustard seed, he can work with you. But you can't let the foreign objects of the world destroy what you've attained. It's possible to love God. It's possible to be obedient and not be sincere. All you have to do is kill the pride, which is the source, and all of the limitations of the world. Then that would take, if you fill your heart with the word, long story short, you fill your heart with the word of God, speak the word by faith, you can drive those Philistines out of your Canaanite heart.